Because I wonder if you've ever had the that moment when you're talking to somebody and you realize that they're not listening. You ever had that moment when you're having a deep conversation, you're pouring your soul out to them and realize that it's not listening? Some of you will just call that marriage, but I'm sure it's not just marriage. There we go. But often other times we end up talking to people, and it's been happening recently. I know I use my phone to call people. I use WhatsApp. And the problem for those of you who've used WhatsApp to call people, have you ever had that moment where it cuts out and it's reloading? So you're talking to somebody, they keep talking to you, you keep talking to them, and then you realize that for the last 5 minutes they haven't been listening to you because it's been reconnecting on the internet. And it happens quite a lot. But there's a deep sense within each and every one of us where it really, really hurts when we talk to somebody and we tell them something that's really deep within us and they don't respond to us, or it feels like they're not listening. Am I the only one, or does other people resonate? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know when you've told someone something and they just don't understand, they haven't heard it? Maybe when you've reached out to somebody and they haven't responded, or you've sent a text to your friend. And especially now, because often the new messages, WhatsApp do it, but also Android, Google phones, it tells you if the person's seen your message, doesn't it? That's the worst thing in the world, okay? Because you know they've got your message, but then you know they haven't replied. And you're thinking, why haven't they replied? What's wrong? Why not? And you wanted help and they didn't reply to you. Or maybe you left a voice message and they just, and your friend didn't notice. And it feels like your pain's been dismissed. It feels like nobody cares, that other person doesn't care. And it hurts and it cuts. And when someone you care does it, even more than just a stranger, when it's someone close to you, who you think was close to you, feels like they don't care. The pain is deeper than you can imagine. And it reinforces ideas. You can start thinking to yourself, well, you know what? I'm not worth it. You can start thinking to yourself, nobody cares. You start thinking to yourself, what's the problem with me? Why is that person not replying to me? Does anyone resonate with this? Anybody understand this? A few of you do, yeah? I think it's so true. And today's conversation with Jesus that we're going to look at is not Jesus talking with one of his disciples or Jesus talking with anybody. It's Jesus' conversation with God the Father. Because the night before he died, as this passage that I read earlier, Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the word Gethsemane means the press, okay? It's kind of very appropriate because Jesus was pressed as he went in. And he says to his disciples, I want you to stay awake and pray for me. You know, Jesus isn't just somebody who needs people with him all the time. Remember, often as you read through the Gospels, you have Jesus just going off for times by himself with God the Father all the time. The disciples were often going, where's Jesus? It's like playing, where's Wally? Where's Jesus? And they couldn't find him anywhere because he was praying with his Father. But this night, he was really distressed. This night, he says to the disciples, basically, don't go far away from me and pray for me. The way it's described here quite powerfully in the Mark's Gospel is this. He began to be deeply distressed and troubled, extremely anguished, the Amplified Version says, at the prospect of what's to come. Jesus was facing dying. He was coming up with his own death. But more than that, Jesus was facing the weight of the sins of the world being put on him. Every murder, every rape, every lie, every betrayal, every adulterous relationship, every act of terrorism, every act of genocide, every act of war, every act of oppression, all of those were going to be placed on him. It's a bit scary, isn't it? I think I'd be a little bit of an anguish as well if I was facing that. Talk about the weight of the world being on your shoulders. The weight of every bad thing that human had done was being placed on his shoulders. Jesus was in anguish. He felt alone. He was really stressed out. And even to put it in a bit more context, pastor and academic James Emery White says this, and I never thought about this before. He says, for the first and only time in all of eternity, Jesus would lose fellowship with the Father. The community of the Trinity would be shattered, and Jesus would be left utterly, terribly alone. You know, Jesus wasn't in the Garden of Gethsemane just saying, oh, Jesus, God, Father, please be with me. This was prayer from the bottom of his heart. He was facing so much. And these are the words he cries out. He cries out, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup of judgment away from me, but not what I will, but what you will. And it's really interesting here because you notice in the English version here, and I'm sure, I don't know if the Farsi is the same as well, but it says, Abba, Father. It's the only Arabic word. There's not many Arabic words that are used in the New Testament. Jesus' is like mother tongue. But he prays in Arabic. The Greek writers, when they wrote it in Greek, they kept this Arabic in, this Aramaic in even, which is Abba, which means dad, daddy. And you can see how powerful Jesus' language is here. He's saying, Dad, if there's any other way than me dying on the cross, please. If there's any other way, please. And then it goes on to describe how he sweat drops of blood. The technical word for this is hemorrhoidosis, I think. My Greek is shocking. Okay, I can't get any of these words out. It sounds like hemorrhoids to me, but it's not hemorrhoids. Okay, so it's going in here. Say, so this word here, it's way pronounced, I can't pronounce it, but it's a time, it's a psychological stress. It's when you're under so much stress that you start to sweat blood. Can you see Jesus' pain? He is going through a really hard time here. He is really stressed out. Everything is against him. But there's one thing I notice is that there doesn't seem to be a response from God. There doesn't seem to be a response from God the Father. All the other times in the New Testament, or in the Old Testament, when God seems to speak, it seems to say, I prayed this, then God said to me this. I prayed this, then God said this. Jesus is praying here, but it looks like heaven is silent. It looks like heaven is silent. 24 hours later, Jesus is on the cross, and he cries out these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Again, it felt like God the Father had abandoned him. It felt like he was praying and he was hearing nothing back. He was stressed and he was tired. He was exhausted. He just didn't know what to do, and it felt like God had abandoned him. He felt alone. I wonder, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt in that place where you've prayed and there doesn't seem to be an answer from heaven? The place when you're praying, I'm not just talking when you're praying, you're upset because someone's nicked your parking space, okay, or someone's pushed in front of you at Aldi, or you're trying to catch the till, you know, the end of the Aldi till when they're firing stuff down at you really quickly, and nothing like that. I'm talking about real deep anguish. When it feels like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. When your friends have let you down. When it feels like God is more dealing with more important things than yourself. And it hurts. Doesn't it? It really hurts when you feel like this God's just not listening to you. When I read this passage of what Jesus went through, I'm just reminded by this. It's okay not to be okay. When you're feeling like in the place of Jesus, where you're facing hardships, where you're facing bereavement, where you're facing death, when you're facing situations that you don't know what to do, it's okay to struggle. It's okay to hurt. I think from Jesus' example here and the way he prayed the Psalms before his death here, I think we see that God gives us permission to express our doubts and disappointments. Should we say that together? God gives us permission to express our doubts and disappointments. God said it's okay. You don't have to go around pretending everything's all right, okay? You know those people that just walk around as if everything's okay and their legs are falling off and everything's terrible and they're like, how are you doing? I'm all right. I praise Jesus. I'm doing fine. And they go, you're not doing fine. That's not true Christianity. You know, really interesting, because Eastern religion, it teaches you that if you react the way that Jesus reacts, you lack enlightenment. Atheists may talk about the way Jesus behaved and did this stuff as to show that there is no God. Muslims would say, crying out these hard prayers, raw prayers, were blasphemous. But God says it's okay. God says it's life. Through Jesus, he understands. You know, yes, Jesus was praying here. You can almost get the sense of a person who is struggling with their faith. But we know that he wasn't. We know that he was just feeling the pain that he was going through. He was showing how he was feeling. But the truth is, God never left him. In that Garden of Gethsemane, when you read Luke's account of the gospel of this story, Luke said how God sent an angel to comfort him. God the Father was true to his character, even though he felt far away. When God the Father said he is faithful, God the Father was faithful. Let's say together, God's faithful. God's faithful. Even in the midst of Jesus' doubts and disappointments, God was faithful. I'm coming into land now, so don't worry. I was really challenged. I read a story this week in preparation for this message by a lady called Corrie ten Boom. Now, Corrie ten Boom's amazing. If you haven't read her stuff, she is phenomenal. And when she was faced, she was put in a German concentration camp. She's a Dutch lady, because her and her family were Christians and they protected Jews during the Second World War, and they got found out. And she went through horrendous stuff in concentration camps, and she talks about forgiveness really incredibly. But at the end of her life, she was having cancer, she was facing death, and someone said to her, how do you feel about this? And she said this so beautifully, the words to this effect. She said, I have said to God, whatever brings him the greatest glory for him to do. If he heals me, that's brilliant. But if he doesn't and I go home to be with him, that's fine. But God, whatever gives you the greatest glory is what I want. It's amazing, isn't it? That's a prayer that I want. We can't dismiss what Corrie ten Boom was going through at the end of her life, when the cancer and everything else she'd gone through. But that prayer that she prayed was powerful. You know, that prayer that Jesus prayed when he said, Jesus, take this cup away from me, but God, even take this cup away from me, Father. But whatever you say, I will do. Sometimes we will go through situations that we feel that we cannot bear. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves in those times that God is faithful. Sometimes it's going to feel that heaven is silent. But God's faithful. He's still there. During those times, there's no easy answers. But during those times, I've come to the conclusion that I want to be like Corrie ten Boom. I want to say, God, whatever brings you the greatest glory. Can we say that together? God, whatever brings you the greatest glory.